This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. Tomorrow is Canada Day, when the country celebrates its formation in 1867. But like so much this year, COVID-19 is making its presence known. The international border is closed to all but essential travel. British Columbia is in a phased reopening, much like Washington State. And there will be no fireworks this week in Victoria, BC's capital. But there will be virtual celebrations. Victoria Mayor Lisa Helps is with us to talk more about Canada Day and how things are going for her city of 92,000 people. Mayor Helps, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you today.
What usually happens in Victoria on Canada Day?
What usually happens in Victoria is tens of thousands of people come downtown to the Inner Harbour District, and there's a multicultural, family-friendly celebration that happens all day long. And we also have the spectacular event called the Living Flag. People wear white t-shirts and red t-shirts, and then they're directed into the formation of a living Canada flag. And then there's someone who goes up on a crane and takes a picture, and there's the living flag. And this was started in Victoria, but it's made its way across every capital city in the country does the living flag.
How will it feel this year to have virtual celebrations?
It's going to be difficult. There's really an energy that happens when you have that many people in the downtown. But we're going to do our best to recreate what happens in the downtown online. We've got a fantastic local media outlet here, Czech TV. They're going to be doing an hour-long commercial-free virtual Canada Day event. And it will have some of the same look and feel as the regular event downtown does.
Even without Canada Day, what does the city look like this year compared to previous summers? Are people out and about? Are they hunkered down? What's the environment like right now?
People are out and about. I think there was right in the middle of the pandemic, and I came to the office every day, so I've walked from home downtown to City Hall. We had a core group of people here, and you know, I would say late March, it was just like probably many other cities in North America, a ghost town. But with the reopening that's happening, we're starting to see more people come downtown. We do miss the visitors from Washington State, so we hope that that can be sorted out, but we love having visitors from Washington come see us.
There are obviously a lot of different reactions to the way the U.S. is responding to the pandemic, but most of what we're hearing, of course, is from other people in the U.S. I'm wondering what your view is from the outside looking in.
It's hard actually seeing our closest neighbor go through a really, really challenging time. British Columbia's approach has been very, very careful. We never had a complete lockdown. For example, construction sites kept functioning. So buildings kept being built, people kept being employed. But we did it in such a way that we really followed all of the rules that our provincial health officer gave us. You know, every day she would give her address, and every day I would say the majority of British Columbians were hanging on her every word thinking, okay, what is Dr. Henry saying? That is what I must do. And because we were very like rule following, we've been able to be very lightly hit. And so my impression again, and it's just from the news, is that there are some people in the United States who are doing that, taking the public health emergency very seriously. And it would be very frustrating for those who are doing that to see others who aren't. And, you know, and we're seeing in Florida and Texas reopening and then a resurgence. So I'm actually quite worried.
I want to talk a little bit about what getting back to normal looks like. What do you foresee in the next 6 months to a year for your city?
I see a shift, a diversification of our economy. And we've just adopted a new economic action plan called Victoria 3.0, Recovery, Reinvention, and Resilience. There's a lot of energy around implementing that right now because the businesses that are working in the innovation economy, that are high-value jobs, that are already delivering solutions that are needed for a global marketplace, COVID aside, are the ones that are going to be okay. And that's important not only for those people in those jobs, but also, you know, with a lack of tourists coming, it means that there will still be more people here making money who can go and have a beer or go for a meal. So I would say in the next 6 to 8 months, we're really focusing on that. And there seems to be a lot of energy around it. And then also doing everything we can to support our small local businesses, our retailers and restaurants as they reopen.
I want to go back to Canada Day for a minute. Is Canada Day felt differently by different groups of people there? I wonder, for example, how it's perceived by people who are First Nations.
Absolutely. People who are First Nations, people who are Black, people who are immigrants, everyone has a very different experience of Canada. And one of the things that we're always mindful of in our Canada Day events is that for some people, it's a day to celebrate. And for other people, it's not a day to celebrate. Even in this 1 hour virtual event, we begin the event with the Lekwungen dancers who are from the Songhees Nation. And we have a very deep relationship with both nations here. And recognizing that Canada is still a colonial place, there's no decolonization on the horizon. And also, as we've seen, you know, the Black Lives Matter and racism are not confined to the United States. Those are very real things that happen here in Canada. And so I think Canada Day this year in particular is going to have a lot of poignancy around it, recognizing, you know, all things considered, it is a pretty good place to live. But depending on who you are and what your history is and the color of your skin, there's lots of room for improvement. And I think we're aware of that as a country. Systemic racism has been named, if it hadn't before. And I think that's a good thing.
I know thousands of people turned out for a rally against racism in Victoria. I think it was June 7th. Both our countries are reacting to the death of George Floyd and the larger issues it brings up.
Absolutely. Yeah, without question. And I think, you know, it's very easy for some people to point and say, you know, police brutality or systemic racism or anti-Black racism are only things that happen in the U.S. because of the context of the history of slavery. But there are people of color, Black people right here in Victoria who on that rally in June the 7th told some very compelling stories about this is our work to do here. And we have work to do as a community. And myself and council have really embraced that. And I think had even before this came up, but it's certainly a reminder that there's more work to do in terms of creating an equitable community.
We've seen statues and monuments removed here in the U.S., especially to those figures who fought for the Confederacy during the U.S. Civil War. In 2018, your city removed a statue to John A. Macdonald, Canada's first prime minister, whose legacy includes some pretty appalling acts committed against Indigenous people. It was a reconciliation gesture. I don't want to make this question entirely about statues, but I'm wondering if there are lessons from that or from the way Canada has approached its own past.
Well, you know, people, when we removed that statue, there was anger and outrage from across the country. And now I'm, you know, getting a few emails that say, huh, it looks like you guys were actually ahead of the curve, or I've changed my mind, or I understand this a bit more deeply. So, yeah, we removed the statue of John A. Macdonald based on a recommendation / request from the Songhees and Esquimalt Nations, because it was placed right out front of City Hall, and it wasn't a welcoming environment for them to walk into to do business, basically, and these are their lands. But my opinion is that moving statues or removing statues is just the first step. It's a symbolic gesture. It's an important one. But, you know, dismantling systemic racism and understanding and doing what we can to make reparations for colonization, there has to be a lot more done than just removing statues.